This is a spiritual reading being given for Christine Nelsor on Saturday, October the 16th, 2021, in Victoria, Australia, by John Rawson. We stand within the hall of memory. The book of the soul is given into our hands, and the book, Christine, is a metaphor. That is, it represents a record of all the incarnations that the soul has experienced since it first entered into incarnation many aeons ago. Now, there are three important characteristics of the book as we hold it. The first is that it has, or the cover has a colour, and the colour as we see it is one colour inside the other, actually, which is unusual. The first colour is red, and then surrounding that, the red diffuses into the second colour, which is light blue. That's interesting because that's the same as the first two colours of the aura in this incarnation, which would indicate to me that this incarnation is one of correction and alignment, of being pulled back into alignment with the very purpose, the very fibre, the very being of the soul when it came into incarnation first. And the colours indicate that the soul was attracted into incarnation through the light red, which is the desire to experience life, to experience sex, sexuality, to experience polarity within this world. And the blue indicates that your soul still retained its connection to spirit, and some lives would be focused around the red, which is to say some lives would be very physical in nature, and others would be the opposite, they'd be very spiritual in nature. But in this incarnation, you've been asked to bring these two together and to integrate them. And it's a lovely question that you ask when you say, have I done okay this time around, meaning this lifetime? Well, of course you've done okay, but is okay good enough for you? It's certainly not good enough for the what we call the brotherhood, or actually for your soul. And even that's not quite right. It's not okay, is not good enough for the real self. Now, don't get hysterical at this point, because hardly any individual finishes an incarnation having achieved everything that they may have wanted to. Every soul has regrets. That's why we come back into incarnation time after time, because the regrets that we experience on leaving this life impel us forward to redress and make reparation for what we've either done or omitted to do. There is one more thing, though. Reverend Mario said very pointedly that it is almost impossible for a soul not to fulfill its purpose for its incarnation. And very rarely is this purpose something that's very grand and profound, like creating world peace or inventing electricity or being a composer like Beethoven or Mozart. Now, it's very rare that these are purposes. The purposes will seem to us much more prosaic. Sometimes it's as simple as learning to get along with other people. Sometimes it's simple as saying, I'm sorry to an individual. Now, I will come to this presently, but you have fulfilled your purposes for this incarnation, and yet there is one more task that is placed in front of you, and we will come to that later. Let's return to the Book of the Soul. The first characteristic is the colour of the cover. The second is that it has a name written in gold lettering across the top, a title, if you like, title of the book. And the language, of course, is not English, but as it comes to me, the English equivalent for the name of the soul is the conqueror. The conqueror, the one who conquers. And the third characteristic is that there is a picture or an image. And the image, as we see it, is an eagle descending. And it's got its wings up, its claws outstretched, it's about to pounce on something. And this amplifies and explains something of the title, because the one who conquers will want to overcome and conquer and win from life to life. But that's not what living's all about. You have had incarnations where the will, for example, was very strong, and you exerted your will on certain individuals, no doubt people that you've been associated with in this life. And in previous lives, you have manipulated them or coerced them in some way. And this incarnation is not about coercion or manipulation. It's about creating a balance between your own desires and the reality of the fulfillment of those desires by other souls. And we will come to a deeper description of that later. So the eagle descending is about to descend on its prey, and indicates lives where you've been a ruler, or you've been a commander, or you've been a leader in various things. And that habit of ruling, commanding, and directing will have manifested in this incarnation, but it won't be successful. You won't be able to rule or command others. You won't be able to ask or direct others to fulfill your desires, because the purpose of this incarnation is that you rule yourself. And that's the greatest and most difficult task. And of course, this life comes on a series of other lives where you've also been given this task or this purpose, perhaps along with other purposes. So insofar as you have learned to rule yourself and live within your own needs, then you have definitely completed the purposes for this incarnation, with one caveat, as I've said, which we'll come to shortly. We now open the Book of the Soul, and it opens at the current incarnation. And on the right-hand side, the soul depicts itself. It paints a picture of itself. And it paints a picture of itself in the terms of the aura colours. And I will list these. I'm pretty sure that the first two colours have remained the same. I'm not sure about some of the other colours, but the first colour is light red. The second colour, light blue. And these reflect the colours on the Book of the Soul, which indicates that the purpose of this life is to align the soul with its real self, the workings of the real self. The soul is not the same thing as the real self. The real self manifests through the soul. And the more strongly we attune ourselves to spirit and the spiritual currents and forces of life, then the more strongly the real self, the Christ self, the divine self, can work within us. The third colour is light rose. Then from the shoulders we have purples. Now this may have changed since your last reading, but the colours now are purples, which is good, because it indicates the working of the priesthood within you and the expression of your priest nature within the world. When the colours are on the shoulders, they are to some extent hidden from us. We can't quite see them. When the colours are in the body of the aura, then they're in front of our eyes as well as behind. So we have greater awareness of those qualities. But the purples on the shoulders may well indicate that your priesthood is carried out in hidden ways, and that not even you are going to be aware of the workings of the priest, your priest nature within you. The within the head, light rose again, deeper light rose. Not such a good colour to have in the head, but we will. There are developments coming that will change that. The vortex, as we see it, is orange, and the vortex represents a spiritual energy that descends from the heavens through the crown center and will change the consciousness over the next 7 or 8 years. Now, there are significant changes coming towards you in this time. I understand that it's important to you to know whether or not you should take up this plan of buying a property and living self-sustainably. Now, I have a slight suspicion that you asked quite a similar question in your previous reading, something about living with Luke in a cottage or something like that. And the first observation I would make is that if you haven't done this in the last 9 years, I'm not sure why you would think you'd do it now. But nevertheless, it's certainly an aim and a goal within life that has come into the forefront of your consciousness. The next 2 to 3 years, well, next 2 years really, are a time to refine and retune your goals. So let me put it this way. If you did carry out this particular goal right now, you'd get out somewhere in the middle of the country and you'd discover you had different goals, different objectives. Now, generally speaking, people don't make great changes when they're in this sort of phase where they're going to change their objectives in life. And you have to wait until about 2024 for the most important goals to come into focus for you. Then there begins a period of about 5 or 6 years, starting in about 2024, where your life is going to change. It's going to change slowly at first, and then gradually it's going to change to a much greater degree. And you'll find that the things that you thought important are disappearing out of your life. And that at the end of that period, which lasts until approximately the end of 2026, at the end of that period, you have you've allowed a lot of life to dissolve. You've let go of so much of what you consider important right now. And then the end of 26 through 2027, 2028 and so on is a period of rebuilding. And that is the time when, if you're going to make a major change in your life, that is when you'll make it. I think, to be honest, that the idea of living self-sustainably in a property somewhere out in the country is a very romantic ideal, but it's not practicable in the next 2 years. You will need, this is not something that you can do on your own. You would need a partner. You can't run a little property and do all that work unless you've got two things. One is a very strong physical body, full of vitality, full of energy. Now, if you've got that, good, tick that one off. The second, though, is I think you need a partner. I'm sure you've considered that living in the country, for example, and being perhaps an hour away from a hospital, is something that you need to take on board. You need to consider that. And if you can find a property that's much closer to a city or a town, then that would be much better. You don't want to just disappear off into nowhere. So I would say, with that particular goal, and you will do exactly what you want to do, of course, with that particular goal, I would remember the old Latin adage, festina lente, make haste slowly. It's like building a house. Lay your foundation. And I'm sure, and I don't know what your living circumstances are at the moment, but you would, if you are able to live with Luke at the moment in the same house and done it for at least 2 to 3 years, then that's a very important stage. You need to make sure that the relationship is going to work on a very practical and grounded day-to-day level. One way of discovering this, by the way, is to go off in a caravan together and see how you get on. There's nothing that sorts a relationship out so quickly as to live very closely with another soul for a year or so. So lay the foundations. The rose that you have makes you very idealistic. It makes you build, what's that term, pictures in the air? You develop wonderful schemes that never quite come to fruition. And it's interesting because you've got brown around the hands, which is normally someone who can build things with their hands. Very good for gardening, obviously. And you've got deeper greens around the feet and the calves. These are very good for doing what you want to do, for creating a garden, for planting, for looking after trees, all this sort of thing. You have the ability to do that. And I'm sure you've got a beautiful garden where you are, and you've honed these skills to where you've become very productive, no doubt, in a small space. So I can understand why you'd want to extend these skills to a larger canvas. But put your foundation stones in place one at a time. The cosmic colours we can see at the moment, light, very light blue above the head and very light green below the feet. There are certain images within the aura. On the left hand side, by your left foot, is a little dog. Something like a Jack Russell Terrier or something like that. On the right hand side, a fruit tree looks like an apple tree or a pear tree. And in front of you is the image of a tunnel. Now, these images indicate dynamics and energies within the aura, and some of them you are aware of, others, the ones on the left hand side for example, not necessarily so. You have to work hard to bring them into consciousness. The symbol of the overself as we see it at present is a young woman standing in an arbor with a beautiful climbing rose over it. Now, that's the right hand side, the soul picture. And you see the soul depicts itself in images and in colours. On the left hand side is a little verse. And the verse as we see it consists of a title and a couple of lines. And this represents the purpose of the soul for this incarnation. And the title of the soul, of this incarnation, is to balance. Very appropriate, I'm sure you'd agree, for a Libran to balance. And the verse as we see it says to bring into balance from harmony, to bring into balance, that's the first line, from discord create harmony, that's the second line, from discord create harmony, so to bring into balance, from discord to create harmony. And the final line, to come to the garden alone. To come to the garden alone. So the title is to balance, and the verse reads to bring into balance, to move from discord into harmony, and to come to the garden alone. And we will return to this little verse because it reflects what you have achieved in this incarnation and what you still may be set in front of you when you've asked, is there anything the Brotherhood want me to know or do, and how do I best prepare for my next incarnation, all those things. Yes, there's one more task. So that if you achieve that, you'll have achieved a great deal in this life. It's interesting, Christine, that there's a great deal of musical ability here. It's sometimes this is in the greens, but in your case it's actually in the roses. And that's interesting, because if musical ability shows in the greens, then you are a person to whom music comes naturally, if I can put it like that, that life will give you organized ways for you to express this music. It'll, for example, present a teacher to you, so you can learn the piano or the violin. It'll present a choir in your life, so you can join a choir and sing. The light roses, though, reflect the fact that you've developed this talent in previous lives, and in this incarnation, it's not part of your incarnation, your purpose, to express music as a professional musician, or to train in it particularly. Rather, it's sort of like an optional extra. It's there if you ever wanted to use it, but in order to make use of it, it would require some years of intensive training and hard work. And partly that's because it comes to you from other lives. For example, in the, where are we up to, the 11th century, had a life, an incarnation in a male body, and you were a troubadour in that incarnation. You sang, you created music, wrote poetry, you you played a guitar or a lute, or probably a lute, I expect, in 11th century, and you went from place to place, traveled a great deal, And you would have relationships with various women in that incarnation, but they were not they're not permanent long-term relationships. They were more like sort of flirtations or short affairs. So there was no commitment in that lifetime. And you couldn't commit because these women were usually married and usually of nobility, and you couldn't, they wouldn't marry a travelling minstrel. So your incarnations there, or your relationships tended to be passing or in passing. So in this incarnation, you would probably have experienced again passing attractions to various people throughout your life, but very probably this time the attraction has not been returned, or not always being returned, because as you passed out of their life in the 11th century, so in this incarnation they would pass out of yours. But there is one incarnation that it's a bit cheeky, where I think in the 15th century or 16th century, just before the French Revolution, so it's the 1700s, we see you as a duchess, I think, la duchesse, you're a French duchess, and you lived in the country, and the Duke was usually in Paris on business, and besides which he was busy with his mistresses, so there's not much going on there. And you had an affair with a young footman, and this person was a servant. He'd attend your needs, lay the tables, arrange the furniture, wash the windows, and you had an affair with him. And because he was besotted with you in that incarnation, but you would, I won't say you're just having fun, but you wouldn't, of course you couldn't actually marry him or commit to him or have anything at all permanent. So in the end you sent him away with a fairly reasonable sum of money. And that was the end of it. Now in this incarnation, I think that that relationship has come back into your life, and you've had to balance it out. That this person, who I'm pretty sure would be Luke, now has come back in a situation where there is the possibility of a real relationship where you could marry, you could live together, you could do all the things that couples do. But there is going to be a hesitancy on his part to make a commitment because of the rejection in that life where you were the Duchess and sent him away. But he's still, by the way, willing to work for you and provide for you. Now, that karma has been brought into balance. I probably said that in the last reading, that your karma with Luke is in balance. That whether you proceed or how you proceed in this incarnation is not due to the debts that you owe one another, but rather the what you want to create for future lives. Now, you've asked the question, how do I best prepare for my next incarnation? Well, it's quite simple, really. what you do is you write down three things that you'd like to be or do or have in your next life. So let's say you'd like to be a musician, a singer in your next incarnation. Well, what you do is you focus on it now until the end of this life. And you focus on it. Okay, you want to be a singer next life, go and get some lessons in this life. Sing every day. Learn as much about music as you can, and you will find when you come in next lifetime that you are presented as a young child with the opportunities to develop a musical gift. Let's say that you want to have a loving relationship in your next incarnation, then work on being loving in this lifetime. And you have worked a lot on that. And it shouldn't be work, of course, but you have opened up the heart center to a great extent. It's interesting that the spiritual centers have all opened now. The heart center is open, and I can see that because of the white rose in it. That is that you've learned to love in this incarnation and to let love flow from you. And that's not just necessarily love for other people. It's love for the world of nature. It's love for the animal kingdom. It's anywhere where love flows that will open the heart. So you've already opened the heart in this incarnation. Then the next thing that you need to work on to establish a great relationship the next time around is that you work on the will. And the will centre has changed a lot since the last reading. The will centre also has become open. And the will centre is represented by a blue flower in the throat. I could not tell you what sort of flower. Perhaps it's not like a dahlia, but it's not a rose. It's a different flower, and it's blue. So that therefore the will, you have let go of the will to a great extent in this incarnation, and it's been very important. That's why people come in as Libras, by the way. One of the reasons is to release the will, because the process of balancing prevents the will operating in a selfish and self-centered manner. Because if you are able to balance your needs and realize that another person has needs as well and allow them to have those needs, then the will no longer rules that relationship between you. And so it becomes, that center becomes healed. And that in itself is healing for your health, by the way. The thyroid situation should come into balance and should be maintained in the next 7 or 8 years at least. And you've asked about your health. Well, you know, you're coming into your 70s. And your 70s are a result of what you've done in your 60s. So if you've looked after your health in your 60s, if you've found healing, if you have found a diet that works for you, if you have opened what we call the etheric gates, if you've worked with your breathing, if you have lots of water, if you look after your food, if you meditate, if you sleep well, and if you work with the etheric energies, which you can do in a number of ways, the most out there ways or method is to adopt modalities like yoga or Tai Chi that actually create greater levels of etheric energy and will assist in the maintaining the vitality and well-being of the physical body. Work on the etheric levels and your physical body will follow. And the etheric is affected by the astral. So the thoughts that you think work their way into the etheric, and the etheric, from there, they work their way into the physical body. So if you think thoughts, if your thinking is about beauty, care for others, balance within your life, love for other people, love for Christ, building relationships with other souls, with Christ, then this will build the etheric energies and it will sustain the physical body to a much greater degree. And what that does, by the way, is that even when you have to work on the physical body, some sort of ailment, then you will attract towards yourself the means of doing so. So clarity of thinking is perhaps the greatest aid to physical healing. The purples, they are very interesting now. They are, as I've said, they're the shoulder colour. And I'm not sure what you had last time, I think it was orange. But they're the colour from the shoulders. And this tells us, as I've already indicated, that you have managed to integrate your priesthood within your life. Oh. And there's one more, while I'm talking about the priesthood, there's one more spiritual centre that's still to be opened. And this normally opens late in life, and that's the brow centre. So the brow centre comes when the centre inside the head, because there's what we call the third eye, the brow chakra, but there's actually a center at the very center of the head, in the center of the brain, that reflects itself in the brow center, and that center is to do with thinking. Now in the next 5 to 7 years, a new mode of thinking is going to be made available to you. New understandings, new perceptions, a greater perception of the work of Christ in the world and the work of Christ within you. And there will come a time, and it may happen very suddenly, or it may occur gradually over a period of about 7 years, when you get to a point and you realize that you now think quite differently about things, about people, about your life. When the brow center is opened, then spiritual vision becomes strong. Clarity about your life and what you should be doing becomes much greater, and what you need to do becomes much clearer. And you see, because there's such a change going on in the thinking, I would not advise you to make a huge lifestyle change at this point in time, especially a lifestyle change that is dependent on someone else. And I know Luke is a very honourable person and he will honour any commitment he makes to you, but if you need to make a change, make something that you can do without having a reliance on an outside force. Now, in the Wise Art, I think it's in level 2, we talk about something called the sphere or the circle of control. And to employ this, what you do is you imagine yourself inside a magic circle. And inside that circle is everything that you can control. And outside that circle is everything that's beyond your control. And when you start looking at life like this, you very soon discover that there are many events in life that are beyond your control. You can, for example, do nothing about the fact there's a COVID pandemic in the world. You can't control that. You can control how you're going to react or respond to that. For example, you can go and get vaccinated. That would be something that you can control. You can't control the behavior of other people, but you can control the way you relate to other people. This is something that I think would appeal to a Libra, because it provides a road to creating perfect balance and harmony within your life. Incarnation in ancient Egypt, connected here with the with the purples, and here we see you as a priest, might even be the high priest, but certainly the high priest of the temple, and you have an affair with I think someone who's a soldier or a guard or something like that, and you are punished by both being cast out into the desert, or at least into the wilderness, where in the end you both die. One of you is killed by bandits, the other just is taken prisoner and made to work for the rest of their life as a slave. Now, the priesthood has come back to you in this incarnation, but it's come back to you in a sense at the expense of a relationship that you've had to make a decision somewhere along the line. And you may not realize this, but there has been a decision in your life whether you choose the priesthood over a personal relationship. And when you make that decision, when you make it for God, as Mario would say, God is no man's debtor, and God will flow something, some power, some energy back into your life in order to bring everything back into balance. And as you can see, this life is a lot about bringing things into balance. The light rose in the head, as I've said, not such a good colour, makes it more difficult to think with clarity. One tends, or one can live in a world of illusion with the light rose there. One builds castles in the air. One comes up with plans that never manifest. And that's going to change. I mean, one of the ways you can do that is, of course, to one of the ways you can change it is to set yourself a goal, a plan, and be a bit Capricorn about it, which means set in place the steps on the ladder, which will take you from down here to up there. And make sure that each step becomes implemented at measured stages, phases of your life. It sets off a timeline. So there are ways of coping with that, but then if you did that, you wouldn't have light rose there, you'd have light yellow brown instead. Now what's going to happen is that the orange, the vortex coming in, will open the third eye. It will promote greater clarity of vision. But clarity of vision, clairvoyance, is not, as you know, about seeing visions and having wonderful spiritual experiences. Sometimes seeing clearly means that one also sees the pain that up until now has been hidden or disguised. And that would really bring us to the verse for this life. And before we actually go there, I will say that the cosmic colours are beautiful and indicate gradually that the higher spiritual worlds are coming deeper and deeper into your consciousness. The light blue indicates someone who is real about spirit, that there will be real spiritual understandings as coming into your life. And the light green means that there is certainly movement, perhaps not the movement that you would like to see happen, but the movement that spirit wants you to take. Now, let's look at that verse. The title is simply to balance. As I've said, perfect for a Libran. Now, the Libran scales are sometimes unfairly represented as people having trouble making a decision. There is a truth in that, but it's not the reality of what it means to be a Libra. Sometimes Librans are very good at making a decision, but what happens is that to bring into balance very finely, which is the first line of your verse, which is the playing out of the Libran, is to learn to balance your emotions, your feelings, your reactions, your responses, your understandings with your needs and the needs of other souls. And the only way you can do that is to become much clearer in your sight. And the Archangel of Libra is actually Archangel Michael, who rules the air element. And so the Archangel says this is an incarnation to become a much clearer thinker, to train the mind, to train the emotions, to understand the world in terms of spiritual frameworks, not just to allow the world to come at you willy-nilly, but to stand back, observe the world, and reflect upon it, and through that reflective process to create an inner understanding. That's the balancing process. And good luck with that, because not many Librans, even though it's their strength, make it right to the end, but you have the opportunity to do that. And the second line, to move from discord into harmony, or put another way, to create harmony from discord, but to move from discord into harmony is the way I see it. And this indicates, now by the way, Libra is, as well as a sign of friendship, relationship, love, etc., 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 is also the sign of hatred, discord, division. Adolf Hitler had Libra rising, so work that one out. And this is the Libra in balance. And if you know your Greek mythology, Venus, who was the ruler of Libra, had a very discordant, unbalanced, passionate sexual relationship with Mars, who's the ruler of Aries. So that there's also this side to Libra. Libras can be passionate, they can be sexual. And again, this is part of bringing things into that balance. And if you come into incarnation as a Libra, chances are that your life in the early phases often migrates through a series of conflicts, quarrels, crises, antagonisms, just normal things for Librans. And there is because your name is the Conqueror, you see, you want to conquer, you want to be the winner in all those situations, in an argument, you want to dominate, you want to be right. And so you've had to move from this. You've had to move from being right. You've had to move from winning the argument. You've had to move from war into peace. And insofar as you have achieved that movement, you have conquered yourself and you have achieved the second goal of this incarnation. Now, the last line reads, "To come to the garden alone." And you know that beautiful song that we used to sing at the center was about Mary Magdalene coming to the garden on the morning of the resurrection and being the first being to perceive Christ in the etheric. And when one has achieved inner peace, and only then, because Christ after all is the Prince of Peace, only when one achieves that inner peace, the inner balance, that is when one can perceive Christ, that we have the meeting with Christ. And it's that meeting with Christ that is put in front of you for the last part of this incarnation. And that is not to say, Christine, that you can't have a relationship, that you can't go away and have a house in the country and have gardens and chooks and dogs and cats and everything else. You can. But the focus is on this meeting with Christ. The focus is on creating the peace, which is the foundation for meeting with Christ, and on creating the peace within relationships and creating such an inner strength that you come as Mary Magdalene did, without a partner, without a group of people, without a girlfriend, you come alone. The images within the aura. The little dog on the left, well, you know what that is, it's the astral. Melody sometimes calls the astral a yappy dog because our dog will go yap, 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 yap and never shut up. That's what our astral does. So therefore, you have had this incarnation, like we all have, to work on that, to work on the reactive nature of the astral and to bring it to some kind of peace and harmony within you. The image on the right, which I've lost for the moment.
Fruit tree. Apple or pear?
Yes, that's right. Thank you, Melody. It's the apple tree or the pear tree. I don't know which. It changes depending on which way I look at it. That indicates that your life is to be productive and fruitful, really, really easy. That there is still much you can do in the way of providing assistance and nourishment and sustenance for other souls. But in front of you is the tunnel. The tunnel, as I see it, is like an old railway tunnel. It's brick and it curves, so you can't see when it's coming out. And that's a passage that you have to enter into in the next 2 to 4 years of this incarnation. And you will feel when you move into that tunnel that you're leaving the old life behind and that you're moving into a period of transition, and it is transition. But because the tunnel curves, you can't see how far you've got to go or when you're going to come out the other end. So just remember, when you experience that life starts to change, you have to walk away, or you're pushed away from where you are at the moment in your life, that there is a greater understanding and a greater outcome in the future. And the final image, the final part of the soul picture, which comes directly from the Christ self, is the image of the young girl in the arbor with a pink rose, climbing rose over it. And that young girl is, of course, you. It's your soul. It represents the sensitive nature of the soul, the yearning for love, the desire to be loved, the desire to love other people, the longing for partnership, and yet having to be alone, at least at this point in time. And that soul, that image, is a pictorial representation of the last line of the verse of this incarnation, to come to the garden alone, and indicates that because the soul has become calm, the soul has accepted its beauty as it is without striving to be someone or something else, that it is ready to perceive the vision which will be offered by life. And of course, to perceive Christ in the etheric doesn't necessarily mean that he appears to your spiritual sight, because that depends on how hard you've worked to open the spiritual sight in this incarnation, and it takes a lot of work. But one experiences Christ through the contours, the landscapes, the challenges, the hindrances, the frustrations, and finally the harmonies of this incarnation. And if you perceive that everything that happens in the next 5 years, discordant though it may seem, painful even, because the discord is painful, it's all part of a greater musical movement. And that movement will have its resolution when you can experience all the discords within life moving you to a greater vision, to a greater understanding, and to a greater love. And that would be an amazing experience in the next 10 years. So shall it be.